I was still in my I hate running phase. So, you know, I didn't really, it didn't click. But later on, I remember telling Brent, you know, I guess if I'm going to run, running at Disney would be the place to do it.
The Diz Runs With podcast, episode 246, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, just want to remind you that if you're working on taking your running to the next level here in 2016, one of the great ways to do that is to consider working with a coach. Now, if working one-on-one with a coach might not be quite in the budget, there's other options available, and one of the great ones out there, and maybe I'm biased on this, but one of the great kind of group and kind of hybrid type of coaching programs is the Coterie, which is my hybrid program that focuses individual attention on your training, but then kind of some group options and group dynamics that kind of really bring together some of the best of both worlds of you know, a group program and individual program, you know, in terms of price, in terms of quality, and in terms of everything that's available with it. So if you'd like to find out more information about the Coterie, head over to dizruns.com/coterie. That's Coterie. Or just shoot me a message on Twitter, on email, whatever works best for you, and let me know what questions you might have, and I will do my best to answer them in a very low-key, no-pressure type of format. I'm not going to try to push you into buying something if you're not ready for it, but if that's something that you're interested in, ask your questions, I'll give you the answers, and you can make the decision that is best for you. So with that, let's get on with today's episode. Hey guys, today is going to be a treat for me because I'll be talking with my guest about two of my favorite things to do: running and visiting Walt Disney World. When it comes to combining these two topics, she's definitely the expert. My guest today has made regular trips to Walt Disney World throughout most of her life and continues to be a regular park visitor and race runner. And if you're ever looking for the complete guide to running while you're visiting Walt Disney World, she's got you covered there as well with her book, The Runner's Guide to Walt Disney World. So without any further ado, it's time to talk running and Disney with Ms. Megan Biller. Megan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Definitely looking forward to it. And before we get too far gone and too far into the weeds as it may end up being, guys, if you want to check out more about what Megan's doing and her blog and website and check out the book, all that kind of good stuff, you can find everything at runnersguidetowdw.com. And on Twitter and Instagram, you can connect either, you know, mostly the Disney side, which the handle on both places is runwdw. Or if you want to connect with Megan and get a little bit more well-rounded information or, you know, just more about her, the person, the runner, and everything else, you can just connect there at both places, again, with the same handle, at Megan_Biller. And I'll have links to all of that stuff and anything else that we talk about today at the show notes for this episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/246. So, Megan, the way we always get things started on the show is to ask a simple question where the answers are sometimes equally simple and sometimes are a little bit more complex and require a little bit further explanation. But it's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
You know, I had to think hard about this one because I'm a little torn between two, but I think I'm going to go with a half marathon. My reason being, A, it's easier to train for as much as, you know, the marathon is a beast. So the half marathon is a little bit easier to train for. But I think I also like that you can really gauge your pace and your effort better with a half marathon. I mean, I'll be honest, 5Ks I do not like at all. Because you're basically running there on the brink of death. Yeah. 10Ks, I haven't raced enough of them. I think that's the one that I was kind of wavering on because it's also a really good distance. But the half marathon, I think what I like about it is, you know, you can still push yourself, but you also need to learn, okay, what's too much? When do I need to back off? But there's also just that great sense of accomplishment when you finish.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, that's probably, if I had to, and I haven't kept track of the stats, but that's probably the most common answer on the show for a lot of what you said. I mean, it's a race that requires training. You can, you know, run it hard and you feel like you're worn out afterwards, but you're not just completely wiped for 2 weeks afterwards and the training doesn't completely overrun your life leading up to it.
Exactly. I actually just finished one yesterday, so that's part of what's going through my head.
Gotcha. Did you, as we're recording this, the Disney race, it was a Disney race yesterday. Did you run that one or was it something else?
No, it was a local one in Michigan.
Gotcha. What's the weather finally, spring finally getting there up there this time of year?
It decided to finally come this weekend. So, perfect timing
Terrific,
to
yeah.
have the 80-degree days pop up, but I can't complain. I mean, it snowed last weekend. So, to have it be gorgeous and sunshine and warm temperatures, I'll take
Definitely,
it.
definitely. How did you get started in running? Was it something that you've always kind of done, being athletic and that type of thing, or was it something that developed later in life?
I've always been athletic, but I hated running. When people would say, "Oh, you should run," I just laughed at them. Like, no way. Running the mile in gym class about killed me. I did not like to run at all. And I was in the midst of a stressful job, and someone said, "Oh, you should run." And I was like, "That sounds more stressful." And lo and behold, I started. And I think what tipped me off, though, was before I could only run up to 3 miles. That was kind of my cap, and I couldn't run anymore. So, wanting to get past that, I signed up for a 10K. And I think that that made a big difference because it forced me to get past that 3 mile mark, which was kind of my limit. And so, I don't know what happened during that training, but something flipped. And I used it, like I said, I used it as a stress reliever, but then I had a goal to work toward. And from there, it just kind of flourished. After my 10K, I signed up for my first half marathon. Crossed the finish line of that half marathon, looked at my husband and said, "I am never running a marathon." And now I'm training for number six.
There you
So,
go. After the first marathon, did you complete the typical response of I did that once, but I'll never do that again, or were you hooked after the first one?
no, it's actually a really funny story. So, my first marathon was at Walt Disney World because I figured that was the only way I was going to get through 26 miles was to be going from park to park. And the year I ran it was the 20th anniversary. And which was fantastic. I mean, can you talk about a better medal to
Right,
get as
right.
your first one? However, the not so fantastic part was that it was 70 degrees and 100% humidity at the start. And so it was just brutal. It was a brutal, brutal race. And if you've run the marathon, you know that from the halfway point on, there is no shade the rest of that race.
There's
And
really
so
no
I
shade from the start. It's just dark the first half of it.
exactly. I guess a little shade in Animal Kingdom, but then it traps it.
Right, exactly.
And so I was running with a friend, and we were upset a little bit because we had a time goal in mind, and that he we knew that the time goal was out the window really early on. And so he and I want to say the last 6 miles, were already talking about what one was going to be our redemption race. And so we crossed the line and we had to laugh because both of our spouses were like, "Oh man, are you guys done?" We're like, "No, we're gonna run one in the fall." And they had to laugh. But so I didn't, and I still to this day have not crossed a marathon finish line saying that was the end of it.
Wow. So, how much longer till that becomes the favorite distance to race as opposed to the half marathon?
I just ran the Walt Disney World Marathon in January, and I'm training one for May, the end of May. And it's my favorite in some regards, just from the fact of, you put all this time and effort into training, and then you cross that finish line, and it doesn't matter if your time goal was hit or not. It's just an awesome, awesome feeling, especially, I think, not only for yourself, but what you're showcasing to others. But that being said, the training is just brutal. I mean, right now I'm in a regimen and I'm fine, but there also comes a point where my husband said it too. He's like, "You need to take a break."
Right.
And so I think one a year is plenty.
Yeah, it's funny though, because I sometimes I go back and forth, and I think I had 1 year that I ran three, maybe, or at least maybe it was overlapping, calendar or overlapping years, but in like a 6 month window or something like that, I ran three or four. And it's on one hand, it's tough, but on the other hand, it's almost easier because you're not doing as much training. Like, you know, you run your race and then you got a couple of weeks to kind of recover a little bit and maybe get one long run in, and then, you know, you're back to gearing up to the next race. And yeah, I think you can do that, you know, obviously logistics and schedule wise, but also if you can't run them all hard. But it's easier to do that, I think, than, at least in my experience, of running one and then 6 months later or 8 months later, be like, all right, well, now it's time to gear up and you know, build all that mileage back up again. So it's a double-edged sword where you either have to run them fairly consistently or really spread them apart. Because if you get too, you know, kind of that awkward gray area, is tough.
I agree. I will say that having just run in January, my base is fantastic for this one. You know, that those long run mileages don't seem as long, but still, for me, it's scheduling just because of my job. You know, spring's a busy time, and I'm realizing that as I'm trying to cram everything I can in. But I agree. There comes a point where building up that base seems daunting too.
Yeah, I remember, you know, after my first marathon, which was also a Disney race, it was 2010, which I don't remember which number that was, but that was the year that it was like, it never got above like 30 degrees. So, you know, talk about your experience of it's 75, and mine was, it was 30 the whole time. But, I was woefully unprepared. I said I'd never run another marathon again, and I probably didn't run at all for like 4 months afterwards. And then I was like, hey, maybe I should run the Disney race again next year. And so then, yeah, you're starting from scratch. It's a terrible, you know, one of my always words of caution for folks is just keep running. Even if you're not going to run a marathon again or no races anytime soon, just keep doing something so you don't start from square one when you decide to get the itch again.
Exactly.
So how did you get started on Disney? Was that something that, I feel like I saw that on the website, that as a kid, like, you started visiting the parks and just kind of fallen in love with it, basically?
Yes. I was very fortunate in that my parents took me when I was little. My grandparents had a place in Florida that they would go in the winter. And so we would drive down, and usually we only visit Disney for a day or two. But it was just a place that I fell in love with as a kid. And my parents still laugh at me. We still joke about this, because my senior year of high school, they asked me, they're like, okay, where do you want to go for spring break? And I'm like, Disney. And they looked at me like, seriously? And I was, yes, that's where I want to go. So, you know, we've been on the cruises, we've been to Walt Disney World, I've been to Disneyland, just a place that I find comfortable, but also, you know, there's, Every Disney fan knows it. There's just this air of magic while you're there. And so I was – actually, my husband and I went on our honeymoon. And our honeymoon or our anniversary happens to be near Marathon Weekend. And so we were on a bus going somewhere. And I saw all these people with medals on. And I remember looking at Brent saying, why do these people have medals around their neck? And so we, you know, we'd ask a few of them. They're like, oh, we ran this weekend. And I was kind of like, okay. And I was still in my I hate running phase. So, you know, I didn't really, it didn't click. But later on, I remember telling Brent, you know, I guess if I'm going to run, running at Disney would be the place to do it. And so since we've spent quite a few anniversaries down there, because Marathon Weekend's one of my favorites. But, you know, that's kind of how it all combined. And, you know, I tell people, I said, what better place to go run a race and then have an awesome family vacation?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, they got that niche cornered for sure. What was your first Run Disney event? Was it Marathon Weekend, or was it a different race?
It was actually Princess.
Okay.
Which, ironically, I am not a princessy girl. So I still don't know why I signed up for that one. But that was my first Run Disney experience, and that was in 2012. A lot has changed since then. I mean, I was able to sign up a couple months before the race. Go figure.
Right.
And so I ran that race, and we got, you know, I knew Walt Disney World like the back of my hand. We had the Walt Disney World vacation down. But then all of a sudden we were adding this race to it. And I researched like I've never researched before, because I didn't know what to expect. And especially for my husband spectating, he didn't know what to do. And it was just a whole nother ball game. And on top of it, you know, you have to determine, okay, do we want our vacation days to be before the race or after the race? And I mean, there was just so many things involved with it. And so that one was my first race. And I've run multiple since, and ironically, I've been back for Princess a few times because it ends up being a great girls' weekend, fantastic girls' weekend. But yeah, that so the, yeah, Princess Half Marathon was my first, way before challenges and all of that. It was just the half marathon.
So you said that you were, you know, trying to research and all that kind of stuff. Was there a lot of, I mean, now, of course, you can't throw a stick without running to blogs and websites and this and that about not only Disney racing, but just Disney in general. I mean, it's such a huge, you know, niche online and whatnot. Was there a lot of information at that point, or was it still kind of hit or miss?
It was hit or miss. What I found is that if there were any blogs about it, it was about their race. There wasn't much information on what to do, which is how the whole book started. So I, one of my friends, Krista, she contacted me and we were talking about Run Disney Races. And I told her, I said, there's just no information out there. She's like, I agree. She's like, we should write a book. I kind of looked at her and laughed because I was the math and science girl. I wasn't the writer. And so we decided to put our heads together because between the two of us, you know, we knew all the information. And, you know, it's the book has obviously evolved quite a bit because keeping up with not only Run Disney, but Walt Disney World in general is difficult. But so much has changed. I mean, you know, with the addition of the challenges and all these, you know, race weekends. Before, you know, there's only a couple. Now there's, what, nine?
Right.
And so we just decided, you know, let's put together a book where people can go and they can, you know, it's a guidebook. It's got everything. It's got your restaurants. It's got your resorts. It's got information on the race. Because even to the extent of, I don't want to use a porta potty, but if I wait till I get into the park, I can use the actual bathroom,
right.
You know, things like that. And, you know, how do I get to the expo and how does my spouse or friend spectate? And there's just so many things involved and so many little tips and tricks along the way. And so that's kind of where it all started. And then we added the blog to it as well, just to add some more information that we've come up with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now, clearly bloggers have caught on to this and they've got a lot of tips as well. But, you know, my thought is the more information that you know, the better. And so I think it's great. I think it's great that there's this awesome community out there.
Definitely. Definitely. What are maybe a couple of the, I don't want to say most obvious tips because that would make it sound like if you didn't realize this, that you weren't paying attention somehow. But for somebody who's never done a Run Disney event, say let's just pick, you know, we'll pick one to go with. We'll pick Marathon Weekend because that's the big one. What would be a couple of the big tips that you've learned both from researching and writing and doing it and from experience that we could maybe share a little bit about, you know, to help anybody that's maybe next year or down the line or whatever that are running a Disney race?
You know, there's so many. I think a lot of it now comes down to A, register early, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also, my biggest thing is be aware of the crowds, because I don't think, even though in my head I knew how many people were going to be there, you're not prepared for how many people are there. And so know that it's going to be crowded. And I think going into it with that mindset makes a huge difference.
Right.
There are going to be places it's going to bottleneck. There are going to be times where, you know, everybody's trying to get to the same character or the same spot. But also with that, let your spectators know about where you're going to be or vice versa. Mm-hmm. You need to know where your spectators are. I've had a race where I totally missed my husband, just absolutely missed him during the race. And so now we have a plan every single time, because even though sometimes I'll stop and text him, maybe the text doesn't go through because of all the phones. So just always have a plan in place, a place where you're going to meet up at the end of the race. Another is give your proof of time. I have been at the bad end of that before. So make sure that you do enter your proof of time and print it out, because mistakes happen. And I guess another, my biggest piece of advice is just to take it all in. There's so many times that runners are so focused on a time goal or so focused on, you know, whatever it may be, that you're completely missing everything that's going on around you. And so if you want to stop for a character, stop for a character. If you want to, you know, go after your time goal and get that, if you are fast enough to get the age group award, go after that. But be aware of everything that's going on around you, because it is one of a kind, and it is pretty awesome. With those characters, my other advice, especially if you're more towards the back of the pack, is pick the one that you can't live without, if you will, because the lines are going to be long.
Right.
So just determine, okay, is this a character that I really want a photo with, or can I live without it? And if you can live without it, keep moving, because there will probably be another one down the road that might be more exciting to you.
Definitely. And you know, with the characters thing, and I'm sure this is something that you've noticed as well, but there's a lot of characters that aren't, that you don't have opportunities to get pictures with during normal park hours. You know, so.
Oh, yes. I have a story behind that. I was running Dopey, and I think it was the half marathon. We saw a line of people, but we couldn't see who the character was. And so we ran past the character, and when we turned to look back is when we noticed it was Launchpad McQuack. And mm-hmm. I was like, and so at that point, it wasn't worth turning around to go back in line. But it was one of those, you never see him.
Right.
So, yes, I agree. There are many characters on the course that you normally don't see. And so definitely take advantage of that. My rule of thumb is if I can find them in the parks, I'm not going to stop for a photo.
Right. Well, and I did a couple years ago. I ran the full, and it was the last time I've run the full there. But I had another race that was more of my goal race a couple weeks later. And so I decided I knew that I couldn't go into the race and be like, oh, I'll just run it easy and go through it. So I decided beforehand that I was going to stop for pictures with every character to force myself to stop. And there was really only one or two, you know, like Mickey and Minnie by Cinderella's castle. Like, the line was ridiculous. I said, forget this, because the same thing, you know, Mickey and Minnie, like, yeah, they were in a different costume, but like, I can get pictures with them anytime. But man, like, you stop for all these other pictures, and that's still one of my favorite races, even though my time was not as good as it obviously could have been, because I was stopping for all these photos. But man, like, pictures with Launchpad and pictures with some of the different princesses that you either rarely see, or when you do, the line is ridiculous. But they were, because they were in Epcot and it was the end of the race, I think people were done. They didn't want to stop for pictures. They just wanted to finish the race. So taking the time for those pictures is a lot of fun. Even if you're, you know, one of the more quote unquote serious runners, like, just enjoy the experience and stop for the pictures, because makes it memorable for sure.
Absolutely. And also, because I know that the lines get really long, especially towards the end, you know, another thing is there's a lot of other places to take pictures too. So don't get so caught up in the characters. Mm-hmm. You know, take a picture in front of the castle, take a picture in front of Spaceship Earth, take a picture of, you know, when you're on that overpass and there's a sea of runners behind you. You know, there's so many other places to take photos too. So, you know, don't get too upset if those lines are so long, although they do, truthfully, they do move fairly mm-hmm. quickly. But I also have seen the 100 people in line for Dopey. So, you know, it depends. But yeah, I agree. It's so much fun stopping for those characters, especially the full when there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely unique, something you can't normally do during a race.
Definitely. What would be some of your, and maybe it is the character, maybe we just spent a bunch of time talking about it, but what would be your favorite thing, or kind of one or two of the highlights about a Run Disney event versus the other events? Because, and I'm sure you've heard this, you know, the price tag is a whole lot different for a Disney race than it is just about any other, you know, non-marathon major type of race. And I mean, frankly, I think the price tag is fairly well justified, but, you know, if somebody's hemming and hawing, I don't know if I should do this, it's kind of expensive, and plus travel and lodging and all these other things that add up, what would be a couple of the big things that would say, you know what, at least once, you know, you something you should definitely consider if you're a Disney fan and a running fan?
I agree. The price tag is definitely something to be aware of. You know, I know I'm coming from Michigan, so, you know, you got your flight and you've got your travel and your hotel and all of that as well. For me, it's running through the parks. I mean, how often do you get, well, you never get to do that unless right. you're like going after a fast, I mean, well, you don't even go after fast passes anymore.
Right.
So unless you're running at an attraction. For me, it's definitely running through the parks. Obviously, the characters are there. To me, that's very secondary, just because there's a lot of times that I don't stop for characters. But I mean, seeing them on the course alone, even if you're running by them, is pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. The other side of it that isn't necessarily having to do with Disney, but it's a very well-run race. Mm-hmm. You know, they have ample water stations. They have med tents. They have people, you know, biking along the course to make sure everybody's okay. They have the, you know, finish line down to a science. So, I mean, from that standpoint, you can't go wrong. I mean, they just, and they listen, although I will admit sometimes the change machine, it takes a while. You know, they do listen. And so there are obviously still things that need to be improved, but, you know, all in all, it's a very well-run race. But yeah, like I said, I think it's running through the parks that makes it pretty awesome. I mean, the medals don't hurt either. They're pretty fantastic.
Well, they might hurt your neck a little bit because they get a little heavy to wear them around. So, you know, lots of good. And I know for myself, there's definitely some things that frustrate me about some of the different races, different Run Disney events that I've run. Nobody's listening, so you can speak honestly here. Are there any things that have frustrated you or things that, you know, that you, like you said, the change machine comes slow and like you keep hoping that next year this is going to change or next time this is going to change and they don't seem to be making any of the changes that might make things go a little bit better from your perspective?
Oh, yes. First and foremost is course crowding. Mm-hmm. That, to me, I've never, I guess, how should I put this? I thought the proof of time was really going to help even things out. And while I do think, for the most part, it's done a very good job at what it was intended to do, the problem is that even though everybody's in the same pace, there are places the course narrows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just end up going slower. There's been a few times where I've been in the wrong corral, not maybe myself or maybe the person I'm running with. And then what happens is that you're stuck because you can't move forward, mm-hmm. Even though you can run a faster pace. But the thing that bothers me about the course crowding is that it's becoming a safety issue. And I really noticed it the past year or two, especially behind the Grand Floridian and Polynesian, mm-hmm. because you can only fit maybe three across on the road, but then the grass, there's a hill, you know, that slopes down. And all I kept visualizing, because I've run on that grass numerous times, all I keep visualizing is someone's going to roll an ankle, mm-hmm. and they're going to go down that hill. And not that, you know, you would hope it wouldn't be anything extremely serious, but it's asking for injury at mm-hmm. some point. So my bigger thing is that it's a safety concern. And, you know, the really only way to combat it, from what I can, in my mind, put together, is you have to lessen the number of people on the course. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, saying, oh, we're going from 25,000 people who normally run this race to 15 is going to cause some backlash. So,
yeah, and talk about trying to register early, like it'd be even more ridiculous than it already is.
Exactly. So, you know, that's something I don't know that there's a solution to, but it's something that I've noticed more and more the past few years. So that's definitely a concern of mine. Another is with that proof of time. Mm-hmm. I've had friends put in the wrong corral and then they can't get their corral changed, even though they have the documentation showing they shouldn't be in that corral. You know, so there's a lot of things there. There's also, and I'm just going to say it's rumors because I don't know for sure, mm-hmm. but people cheating their way into corrals or, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know, my thought is there's no way to really completely police that, especially when you're talking about these thousands and thousands of runners. But my biggest piece of advice is, first of all, I don't know why you would cheat into it or lie about it, but keep in mind that all of these proof of time is not for anything except for safety of the runners. You know, you don't want someone who's slower in the faster corral and get plowed over. You also don't want the person who's stuck in the back who's trying to move forward. You know, it's all about runner safety. Right. And so, again, I don't really know how to combat that because of just the sheer number of runners. But that one's a big frustration. I guess my frustration is more is when people end up in the wrong corral, they're having a lot of trouble to try to change it.
Yeah, I've seen, there was one time that I was running, and again, I can't know for sure, but you know, one of those things that didn't quite pass the eye test where, like, you know, 4 miles into a marathon, you could see somebody was already just, you know, they were hurting. It didn't look like they you know, had probably done much for distance before. And you know, just looking at them, like, I know you can't judge a book by the cover, but you're like, how is this person three or four corrals? Like, I looked at the bib. How are they three or four corrals in front of me? And I almost wonder, you know, as far as your question, like, of why would they maybe do it? You know, it's for the cutoff. If they can get into a corral that starts 45 minutes earlier, then they've got 45 more minutes on the course that they can get to the finish line.
Exactly. And I know some are doing it because of the character photos, you know, and it's just, I just in my head go, why would you lie in order to get character photos? Right. But, you know, I think in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not that many people. It's just that those people are the loudest. Mm-hmm. So my bigger concern is if you really, truly are put in the wrong corral and you're not asking to be in, you know, the elites or the A corral, you know, let them change it.
Right.
You know, you're only talking about, I'm guessing, a couple hundred people, you know, let them change it. But again, that's not my call. I'm not the race director, so I don't get to say anything. So that's a frustration of mine. And lastly, price point is definitely, you know, I understand the reason for the higher price tag, but the issue is that it keeps going up and you're not getting anything more.
And in some cases, getting less in my experience.
Yes, I agree. I agree completely. I mean, my goodness, what, $70 for a 5K? No wonder it's not a family event anymore.
Right.
So, you know, that, and that's probably, you know, for me running, okay, you know, the half marathons, the marathons, obviously price point is still a concern for me, but that 5K just breaks my heart because there are families who want to do that together. It's not timed. It's supposed to be a family event. But I mean, what family wants to pay $300, $400 for them to run it?
To then turn around and spend another $400 to $500 to get into the park that day.
Exactly. Exactly. So that, you know, I think that's more the one that concerns me is the 5K. Not that the other ones don't. I mean, but then again, I'm the one who put down, what, $500 for the dopey. So
you're part of the problem. Everybody keeps signing up.
Exactly. But I would say those are probably my biggest concerns. So, you know, we'll see. I'm worried that, like we just said, that they're going to keep increasing the price, but reducing what you get.
What does, and if you don't have a take on it, that's fine. But I'd be curious, your take on the new wine and dine schedule situation. I've ran the race every year, and as soon as I heard that it was going to be a morning race, I had zero desire to run the race this year. What's your take on the flip? I wrote a blog post a couple weeks ago that was trying not to be too scathing, but definitely voiced my opinion. I'd love to hear your take if you don't mind.
I'm frustrated. Mm-hmm. I knew a challenge was coming. It's the only weekend that didn't have a challenge.
Right.
So, you know, I knew that was coming. I, in my head, was trying to figure out where are they going to put the 10K. The only thing I could think of is they were going to do it that morning and then have runners run that evening. And I already think there's, I don't want to say too many. I already think that there's a group of runners who aren't ready to run those challenges anyway. And now you're trying to do it in less than 24 hours. But them moving the half marathon to the morning completely takes out all the unique aspects of wine and dine. And I mean, I'll be honest, from a personal standpoint, the night races killed me. But still, I loved running it from the standpoint of this is a night race. This is something different. Even though my body was totally shut down at midnight, which was like mile 10, you know, that wasn't great. But you know, they took away Tower of Terror and now they, you know, are taking this away. I don't know if it's from a standpoint of, you know, I don't know the reason behind it, obviously, but, you know, was it harder to put together? Was it more expensive? I have no idea, but it just really concerns me that it's just another normal, quote unquote, weekend, Run Disney weekend. There's nothing unique about it anymore. You know, it's the same. It's the same as January. It's the same as February. It's the same as April now. So I'm interested. You know, it sold out. I couldn't believe it.
And I'm sure that part of it is because it's the challenge, you know, that aspect of it. And also just, you know, of the crowd of like, hey, I want to run a Disney race and this is a new one. Like it'll be a new medal or whatever, you know, even though it's not a new race, but it's just the new timing of it, you know, like whatever and want to do it. So I wasn't surprised that it sold out, but yeah, like you, I mean, it was, you had all these things that were unique. You had the time, you had the course, you had the ability to go into Epcot afterwards, which they, you know, they tack on however much of a price increase to make that happen. And now all of those things, I'm completely in agreement with you that now it's just another Run Disney race, which is cool. But after I've run that race six times, like no thanks. Like I'm good.
Exactly. What I'm guessing is happening, and this is just based on me and some of my friends, is that there's a whole group now that we're being choosy, very choosy about which races that we go to for Run Disney, mm-hmm. Which in some regards is opening up spaces for people who haven't done it before. And so I can't, you know, I feel fine about that. But at the same time, I feel as they're starting to push away a group that could really be beneficial to them. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see how things play out the next couple of years. But yeah, there's definitely a shift in what's happening. And yeah, the after party, you know, they kept it, but now it's, you know, it's how many hours after the
right.
race?
Yeah.
And, you know, what was so neat about that race, too, is that you could go home on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And now if you want to be at the after party, no, you can't. So.
Right. One last question about that, and then we'll shift gears from a little bit of Run Disney to just kind of running and Disney, but not the same thing. But do you think that the change with Wine and Dine had anything to do with the weather the last couple of years, where the race got impacted, to say the least?
You know, that thought did go through my head that maybe they thought the night race was cursed, mm-hmm. Which ironically that morning was fine. So right. maybe it had something to do with it, but they had how many years where it wasn't an issue.
Thank you.
So, you know, I don't know. There's a part of me that wondered if they can add more runners in the morning, but having looked at the Star Wars race that just happened, that one was smaller too. So, and from what I heard, that course got pretty crowded. So, you know, I have no idea, but the weather did go through my head of maybe it's just more apt to, you know, maybe it rains more at night. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, to answer that part of it, like, yes, it does, but it doesn't rain every night. Like the night before and the night after, we're just fine. And like you said, the previous 4 years, we had no rain issues. And it also rains in the morning sometimes down here. So like,
yep.
You know, I mean, it's if that had a bearing, which, you know, who knows if it did or not, but if it did, that was, It was a fluke. It was 2 years in a row that it happened to rain on the night of the race, and the week before and the week after we didn't rain at all. So like,
exactly.
I mean, it just happens.
Exactly.
You can probably tell I'm a little frustrated about it, but I'm over it now. Like I've got my Wine and Dine medals and my memories and we'll, you know, if they move it back to the night, we'll see. Maybe I'll jump back on the bandwagon. But for
exactly.
Now,
easier on the wallet.
Exactly. Although for me, it's not that big of a deal because it's a 45-minute trip. Like, I don't have any hotel expenses.
Right.
I can, you know, so that's why I can justify it a little bit too. But like I said, a little bit, you know, shifting gears from the Run Disney events to running at Disney as well. That's something also that you talk about in the book and on the website. Lots of resources about the amenities and the options that are available to running. You know, if you're coming down and it's not a Run Disney event, but, you know, you're a runner and you want to get your run in, or you're on a training plan for a race. What are some of the your favorite places that you've experienced to run in and around Disney property? Not race related.
Yeah, I've actually run at quite a few of the resorts because, let's see, after Wine and Dine in 2013, I went straight into Dopey training. Mm. So I have run the path between the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian. Great path, not very long.
Right.
But, you know, if you do need a little shakeout run or something like that, that is a nice path. I have personally not run the one at Wilderness Lodge to Fort Wilderness because when I stayed at Wilderness Lodge, I was running Dopey, so I felt no need to run anymore.
You were getting enough that weekend?
Exactly. But I've heard that it's a fantastic trail because it is more trail-like because you are in the woods. And that one is about 3 miles, I believe. So that one's a little bit longer. But my hands-down favorite, which I actually experienced quite a few times in October, is around the Boardwalk and Beach Club. While the just around Crescent Lake isn't even a mile, you can run to Hollywood Studios, so that adds some more. But then I also ran, there's a sidewalk that runs around like Epcot Resort Boulevard. And so that added quite a bit to my run as well. So that was really nice. I mean, October wasn't fantastic running weather, but, you know, that was nice to be able to add some more mileage and a little change of view. So that one is definitely one of my favorites, especially for trying to get a longer run in.
Yeah, and it's also one of the few places that I've come across that has sidewalk pretty much the whole way. Like, you can actually kind of run on the road and feel safe, as opposed to all the other roads, which pretty much have no pedestrian area to be safe on.
Exactly. And the full disclosure, the boardwalk's a little slippery in the morning, so do be aware of that. But that's probably the place where I saw the most runners out in the morning. Yeah. So that was fun, too, to be able to see other runners in the morning. And then all deluxe resorts have a fitness center. So worst case scenario, you can always run on the treadmill.
Oh, that is a worst case scenario, running on the treadmill.
Yeah, not what you want to do on vacation, but if needed, it's there.
Definitely. As we're getting close to kind of wrapping things up, Megan, what's the next, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months? What are the running plans that you have kind of looking out in the future, whether it's Disney or otherwise? What things are on the schedule and any Disney races coming up as well?
Well, first and foremost, I have marathon number 6, the end of May, and that's a local race. So I'll be up in Traverse City, Michigan.
I've heard that's a beautiful race.
Bayshore, yes. I've heard nothing but fantastic things about that race, so I'm really excited. And then I will be preparing for Disneyland Paris because I will be headed to Paris. So I'm pretty excited about that one. That is a no time goal race. I'm just saying that right off the bat. I plan on absorbing everything I can into that race. And then another half marathon in October. So that's kind of my year. Paris is definitely taking the reins on this one.
And yeah, definitely.
So there may be a little lull and run Disney after Paris.
Have you been to Disneyland Paris before?
I have not. This will be my first international trip.
Gotcha. And obviously you've done this from traveling, you know, down to Florida at least, but when it comes to traveling for a race, what, again, Disney or otherwise, what kind of logistics do you, or what kind of tips have you put into practice that you've used for that type of thing?
First and foremost, do your best to keep it as your schedule as normal as possible. I mean, obviously international trip's a whole nother ball game, but thinking of, let's say if, you know, even if it's just a race that's an hour away or a race that's in Walt Disney World, if you're flying, put all your running gear in your carry-on because the last thing you want to do is have your shoes get lost in your luggage. And then along with normal hydrating, that type of a thing, I always find a place for dinner the night before the race that has what I normally would eat before a long run. So in Walt Disney World, it happens to be Via Napoli because I'm going to eat pasta. Mm-hmm. So that is the one reservation that I will make sure I'm at the 180 day mark. But the same goes if it's a local race. I find a place. I happen to be gluten-free, so it's a little bit more of a process. But finding that place that has, for me, gluten-free pasta before the race. Try to stay off your feet as much as possible the day before. I try, especially if it's a flight, I try to fly in 2 days before the race, especially if it's a marathon. Mm. That first year, I think we flew in the day before, and that was a little, lots of worries can go through your head, especially if you're flying from Michigan in January.
Yeah.
For the most part, like I said, just try to keep your schedule as much as possible, keep things as normal as possible, but also be aware that when you're traveling, things happen.
Right. When is Paris?
Paris is end of September.
Okay. So still got a little bit of time, but it'll be here before you know it for sure.
I know. It's crazy. That's been a whole interesting thing as well, because it's run a little bit differently than it is in the United States.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it'll be, how much of it is, I mean, is it, and maybe you don't, but is it the same people that like are in charge of the Run Disney stuff here that are in charge of it? Or is it somebody from over there that is putting it on?
Based on the lack of organization, I am guessing it's somebody different. I do not know that for a fact, but I mean, things got delayed. And then even after I didn't even know how much it was going to cost until they opened up registration, which ironically, the races were really, really cheap. It's the rest of it that's expensive. And just even the registration page is different. After I registered, I got an email and they said, oh, here's your link to get into your registration. And so that's where I entered my proof of time. That's where you have to get doctor clearance to run the half marathon. Oh, wow. So I had to enter my medical certificate from my doctor. So, I mean, yeah, it's very, very different. But I'm excited to experience it.
Well, yeah, it'll be certainly at least a one-time, you know, once in a lifetime thing. And if it's great, then you maybe figure out how to do it again. But, you know, at least once so you can, you know, experience it. It'll be fun. Like you said, no time goals means you can really experience it and soak it all in as much as possible.
Absolutely.
So, guys, if you want to find out more about running at Walt Disney World, which I mean, it sounds simple, but there is lots of logistical things that you have to figure out. Whether you're running a race or like we talked about as well, whether you're just there on vacation and trying to get some miles in, head over to Runner's Guide to WDW.com. Books available, paperback and ebook. And also just lots of great information all over the website and the blog and all kinds of stuff that'll get your questions answered, which is fantastic. You can also find Megan on Twitter and Instagram, either at RunWDW or Megan_Biller. And again, show notes, disruns.com/246. So Megan, thanks again for taking the time today. And obviously all the best, not only in Traverse City coming up very soon, just 6 weeks or so. Well, I don't know, depending on exactly when it is, but it's coming up. And also obviously later this fall with Paris and whatever else you've got going on in October. But thanks for your time and all the best going forward.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Megan and I talk today about two of my favorite subjects, you know, running and Walt Disney World. And as always, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are, what stood out to you from this conversation. For me, I think it was kind of something that, you know, when we were talking about some of the frustrations, the thing that really stood out to me is that I'm not the only one that's starting to feel like maybe Run Disney events aren't for me anymore. And I'm not meaning to put any words in Megan's mouth. I don't think that she's given up on running the Run Disney events, but just being more selective and maybe, you know, she talked about kind of some of the core runners or maybe the core advocates for Run Disney are starting to have to pick and choose more and not feel quite the same passion as maybe that they felt and certainly that I felt, you know, 5 years ago about running some of the Disney events. And I'm not meaning to shine a bad light on it. There's still plenty of positives about Run Disney events, and I get a sneaking suspicion that I'll still mix one in from time to time, but no longer am I kind of building my race calendar around what, you know, when is the wine and dine weekend or when is the goofy challenge or things like that, you know, 5 years ago I thought would be kind of where I would be at this point in my running life. So it was just interesting to hear kind of some of her takes and some of her frustrations. And that was the one thing that really stood out to me. But again, if you haven't run a Run Disney event before and you're a Disney fan, you know, if you're not a Disney fan, I don't know that a Run Disney event is for you, but if you're a Disney fan, check it out. They are fun. And like Megan said as well, it's a pretty well-oiled machine. You know, you'll see a pretty well-run, pretty tight ship. And it's worth doing. It's definitely worth doing. So I would love to hear what your takeaways are. If you could, shoot me an email, disruns@gmail.com. Shoot me a tweet @disruns. Or even better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at disruns.com/246. And leave a comment. And that way we can get a little back and forth going. And while you're there as well, again, if you have all the links to Megan's website and her book and that kind of stuff. So if you're thinking about, you know, running at Disney World, whether it's a race or whether you're just looking for resources to run, you know, while you're on vacation, it is the place. You know, don't waste your time with a bunch of other websites and whatnot. Go to check out her stuff. It's top notch and it continues to get better. Continues to be revised as things, you know, as situations dictate. So with that, let's wrap things up today. Don't forget, if you're looking for a coach, let me know. And we'll talk about what I have and whether or not it will be a good fit for you. It's not a good fit for everybody, both the coterie and the individual stuff. It's not for everybody, but it may be for you. So you don't know until you ask. And I'm not going to try to steer you one way or the other. I'm just going to give you the information and allow you to make that decision. So thanks for listening, guys. I do appreciate it very much. I know I say that every time, but I wish there was a better way to fully communicate how much I appreciate y'all taking the time to listen to the show. Feedback is always appreciated as well. And I hope you have a great rest of the day. And I definitely look forward to talking to you again real soon. Take care, guys.